In this week's parsha, we read for the second time now in the Torah, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo, the pasuk that serves as the source for prohibiting eating meat and milk together. Even though the primary prohibition, midoraisa, when it comes to eating milk and meat, is just that, together. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Masech Tehulin and Daf Kuf Hei Amar Aleph teaches us that midorabanan, there's an additional prohibition to wait in between eating meat, and then eventually eating milk. The Gemara tells a story about a certain Amora who says that his father was very, very pious, and he would wait an entire day after eating meat before he would eat milk. However, this Amora himself says, you know, I just wait until the next meal. So I'd like to, using that as the background, discuss two very classic, important, and practical questions that relate to this halacha. Number one is, why do we need to wait? Right? If it's acknowledged that that's not what the pasuk is telling us, that that's an additional rabbinic prohibition, why did the Chachamim add this? What's the necessity of waiting in between a meat and then eating milk? I understand if the Torah says I can't eat them together, but why did the Chachamim say I can't eat one after the other? In this case, I can't eat milk after I've eaten a meat unless I wait a certain amount of time. So this seems to be a very important machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says, because we are worried that the fat of the meat will stick to your teeth or the roof of your mouth or other parts of your mouth, and then the taste of the meat will linger and then mix with the milk or the dairy when you eat that subsequently. So it's a worry about the lingering taste of the meat from the fatty residue. The Rambam, however, has a completely different concern. He says that the meat, which will be stringy or in any some other way hard, will get caught in between your teeth. Something that many of us know from experience that if you chew certain kinds of meat, it tends to get caught in between your teeth. And again, the fear is that it'll still be there when you subsequently have dairy. The Tur in Yoredeya Siman Peites quotes these two reasons, that of Rashi and the Rambam, and suggests that there are three different divergent issues in which we could say that the practical halacha will depend on which of these two approaches we take. For example, says the Tur, what's the halacha if after 6 hours or some lengthy period of time, still to be determined, but for now let's call it 6 hours, you still have some leftover meat in your mouth? Is that a problem or not? So according to the Tur, he thinks that Rashi would say, yes, that's still a problem because it's still emitting taste. However, according to the Rambam, he says, after 6 hours, even though there may be some residual meat left over, it has been so broken down by the acids and other things in your mouth that it actually doesn't have the status of meat anymore, and it wouldn't be a problem. The taste may linger, but it's not actually meat anymore. That's one possible question. Something that's perhaps a little bit more common is, what if you just softly chew? Let's say you are very softly, gently chewing, maybe for a child or something like that. Does that also create a problem? So says the Torah, it depends. According to Rashi, if you chewed it without swallowing it, you just chewed it and then you gave it over to a child, there's no need to wait because the residue only attaches to your mouth when you swallow it. But according to the Rambam, the very act of chewing could have caused the problem. The meat could get stuck in between your teeth. So this would be another practical question, which would depend on which of the concerns we are worried about. In this case, according to Rashi, we could be lenient, but according to the Rambam, we would be strict. And a third and final suggestion of the Tur is the exact opposite case. What if you swallow a piece of meat without chewing at all? You swallow it whole. So again, he says, according to Rashi, swallowing is what gives the residual taste in your mouth. Therefore, it would be a problem. As opposed to the Rambam, who is just worried about meat getting caught in your teeth. Well, if you didn't chew it all, then there is no problem whatsoever. How do we paskin on these three questions? So interestingly enough, despite the Tur giving this beautiful analytic presentation of the halachos, two approaches, three different questions, each question depending on which approach you take. When it comes to the bottom line practical halacha, says the Tur, he suggests we should be machmir for both. If Rashi is the one who will lead us to a chumrah, accept that. If Rambam is the one who will lead us to be a chumrah, do that. Whichever position is going to be more machmir, says the Tur, that's what we should take. And in fact, that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. And it's really a curiosity which probably needs explanation beyond the scope of this brief Dvar Torah. Why are we so machmir on a question of a Durabonon? Usually with Durabonons, we're not excessively machmir. And yet here, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch tell us that we have to be machmir in all of the above-mentioned cases, as long as either the Rambam or Rashi would think that there's a problem. In either case, whenever even one of those Rishonim say it's a problem, we have to be machmir. Very interesting. Finally, to resolve a little bit of the confusion and the mystery, how long does a person have to wait in between milk and meat? We know that there are many different customs currently practiced in the Jewish community? Where do they come from and how many different positions are there? So truth be told, if you look at the Gemara, the one that we started with, that doesn't say anything about a length of time. It just mentions the Amora waiting till the next meal. And actually, Tosos's position is that there is no set amount of time. It just means that you can't eat meat and milk in the same meal. But in fact, if you were to finish a meat meal, bench, make your bracha, clear off the table, and then set the table anew, according to Tosos, 5 minutes later, you could already be eating dairy. Obviously, we know that's not the accepted halacha, but it's worth noting that that is Tosus's position, that there is no time, it's just about different meals. However, all the other Rishonim and various customs do accept some amount of time. So one, obviously, very prominent shita is to wait 6 hours. This is mentioned by a number of Rishonim, and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch recommends this psak. The Taz says this as well. The Gra claims that the Zohar had this view. And most of the subsequent poskim, including the Shach, the Taz, the Chayodim, the Aruch HaShulchan, all say, speaking from Ashkenazi practice, that in their opinion, certainly speaking about Eastern Europe, everyone waits 6 hours, and they speak in very strong terms of anyone who waits anything less than 6 hours. It's a very strong and prevalent custom. However, there are other positions. So, for example, the same Ramah who mentioned 6 hours, but he says, yeah, but other places have a custom of only waiting 1 hour. And we know this is what's known as the Dutch Minhag. And perhaps, or most likely, this emerged from the compromise of, do you not have to wait at all, according to Tosfos? Okay, fine, we'll be machmir for some length of time, an hour is enough. Other postgames like the Darkei Tshuva quote what's known as the German Minhag of waiting 3 hours. And then we finally have the fourth position, which is also somewhat common, which is, excuse me, which is not 6 full hours, but to wait into the 6th hours. So this is based on a diuk of the Rambam, who says you have to wait kishesh shos, approximately 6 hours. And many assume that that means even 5 hours and 1 minute into the 6th hour. Others suggest that that means 5 hours, 31 minutes, a little bit more than 5.5 hours. Different positions in that regard of Aaron Cutler, others supposedly accepted this as well.